that your name is healing, and we need healing. Your name gives sight, and we need sight. Your name will free every captive. Lord, loose us. And Jesus, your name is life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Savannah. Thank you, Brenda, for playing. Title of our sermon for this morning, I Will Deliver Him to You. I Will Deliver Him to You. The message today, I will warn you, is I don't have answers. It's a story about the season of the year. Tomorrow, many Christians will be celebrating Palm Sunday. And then next week, the world will commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And we are right in tune with those beliefs. Amen? But this is a story from the from this time of the year, and I don't have answers. It is what it is, and maybe it'll be reference for many of us in the future. All I had to do was wait. I usually work on a sermon several weeks ahead of time, and I keep a green pad by my side. And if there's a story or something I read or something I hear, I usually jot it down. And at some point, I know I'll be able to use it. Well, a story was bound to come across the wire having to do with betrayal. I had no idea it would be the governor of New York. I don't know why Elliot Spitzer, a married man with three daughters, would be involved in such a thing. You heard about it, I'm sure you have. What made it worse was that he was tough on crime and corruption. Now he had to confess to the entire nation of meeting someone from the Emperor's Club. And the sad part of the betrayal was that his wife was standing by his side during that confession. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. In fact, the Bible tells of a leader who once had his leading soldiers sent into battle in order that he might kill so that he could take his wife. That's how revealing the Bible is. That's in 2 Samuel 11, in case you thought I made that up. The Bible is very open about some of the things we find ourselves in. But there's one story of betrayal that's worse than that. And that's the story that's found in Matthew 26. We're probably just going to stay right into Matthew 26. I tell you, this is quite a sermon after telling you to be joyful last week. But it is what it is. Betrayal is nothing new. When we read the book of Genesis, and specifically the 37th chapter, we find out that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. And then we read in the last days of Jesus' time here on earth, he was betrayed. And so let's look again at Matthew 26, if you would. Verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. He was ready to deliver Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. How could one of the 12 even think of such a thing? Now, I know even in our Sabbath school lesson a week ago, it had a short paragraph about Judas, and we know Judas to be greedy, right? I think all of us know that about him. Maybe that's why the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's played out in this very chapter right here. It's okay to have money. Oh, I thank you. Thank you, Alex. I'm glad somebody said amen. It's okay to have money, but it's not okay to love it. It can do real dangerous things to us. The love of money will eat out your soul. Of all the commandments, that of covetousness is a choice that says, I'm choosing the world over God. That's why covetousness is so abhorrent to God. But that's not what I want to talk about. I think everybody knows that Judas was greedy. But what's puzzling is that Judas walked with Christ, but he really wasn't a follower after all. And it tells me that it's possible to know a whole lot about Christ, yet to escape his influence. Judas was intelligent. He sat under Jesus. The Bible says, never a man spake like this. But yet, in the final analysis, it didn't make an impression on his character. And what I have discovered is that we are not saved by our knowledge of Christ. No Christian can be sure we're just not sure if we might betray Christ. Oh no, a true Christian wouldn't. But when you read Matthew chapter 26 and you read verse 22, as Jesus sat down with the 12, 21 says, now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say unto you, one of you will betray me. Listen to the response of the disciples. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? You see, you're never quite sure about yourself. And then it goes on, if you read on down to verse 25, then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and says, Rabbi, is it I? And this is what Jesus had to say to him. You have said it. Judas had some good points. He was called by Christ. He felt impressed to follow Jesus. He was trusted by the other disciples. But when I try and figure out what in the world happened to Judas, I can't really put my hands on it, but I'll give you this text. It probably speaks to it more than any other text in the Bible, Luke 22 and verse 3. You don't have to turn there unless you just want to mark it, because it's very simple. Satan entered into him. That's what the Bible says about Judas. In other words, there are times, if we're not careful, that there's such things as demonic forces. The actual demonic forces of greed entered into Judas. Jealousy and pride. But I'm not quite sure. I don't have all the answers. How could this happen? Children love to play pretend. But I've discovered that grown-ups play pretend too. We act like God is in control when we really don't even believe in Him. We can pretend that we believe when in fact we doubt. We hide our imperfections. We act like everything is fine when we're dysfunctional. In fact, we tend to ask people all the time, "How you doing?" And most of them will respond, "Fine." You know, it's a lot easier to say "I'm fine" than to say "I'm a mess." So we say it all the time over and over, "I'm fine." We really don't want to say "I have a need." But I've discovered that when we stop pretending, we expose the pretending of everyone else. If you ever talk to someone and they were very candid with you, you ask them how they were doing and they said, "Things are not going very well. This has not been a good day." Sometimes we'll tend to reciprocate. We'll say, "Well, you know, it's been kind of tough for me too." You kind of open up. I'm not saying that we should go around being sad song all the time. I just talked about joy last week. Really not talking about how in the world did Judas get to this point? We need to face that bubble of Christian perfection and face the reality that many of us are broken. Truth be told. That's exactly how Judas was. He was broken, but you could never tell it. That's why the other disciples trusted him. But he betrayed. He betrayed his own self, and he betrayed the priest. Let me ask you this. Could Judas really deliver Jesus? Could Judas really deliver Jesus? Think about that. How could he even believe such a thing after being around Jesus for 3 years? How could he think such a thought? "I will deliver him to you." He couldn't deliver Jesus. I don't have the answers. But I will tell you, be careful if you think you can't fall. I hope the very fear of falling will help against falling by having a watchful spirit. And why I say this, because the danger often comes when we least expect it. And any of us could become Judas at any time if we are not watchful. But I'm so thankful that we are not left to chance. For that very familiar passage in Jude 24, Christ will keep us from falling or stumbling. He is able. I have a question for you. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. I may not have ever asked you a more important question than what I'm getting ready to ask you. I've been here for 3.5 years, going on 4 years. I believe that what I'm going to ask you is probably one of the most important questions that I've ever asked since I've been your pastor here. I want you to think about it before you answer. Would Jesus betray you? Would Jesus betray you? Think about it. Would Jesus ever betray you? Mike, what do you think? Not a chance. Thank you. I want you to get that. Jesus will never, I'm going to say this coupled with, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how difficult it is. Jesus will never betray you. If Jesus would betray you, then Christianity is a hoax. And we can stop coming here wasting our time. But I don't believe that, and I know you don't believe that. Jesus will never betray you. Oh, I have to say that. You got to get that in your mind. You can't miss that. Because there are times when we are going through things we are not so sure. If you've lived long enough, you know I'm telling you the truth. There are times when we're going through something we are not quite sure. But I'm telling you, Jesus will never betray you. How does the story go on? Before that, I'll tell you a story. Chief James, Navy Chief James, was working the recruiting station outside of Utica, New York, when he received a phone call from Mr. Mazeroski. Mr. Mazeroski's son had been at Navy boot camp and informed his dad that he had been shipped off to Iraq. It seemed that his son, Mr. Mazeroski's son, called home to tell his dad that he had been wounded in Iraq and that he was coming home to New York. Well, after a few phone calls, the dad called Chief James at the recruiting station to ask about his son. Chief did a little looking into it and found out that his son was doing fine, but he had not been. He saw no record where he had been in Iraq. So he didn't think anything of it. 3 days later, in the local newspaper, there's a picture and an article of Mr. Mazeroski's son. There he was, his picture in the paper, full chest of medals. And he even got promoted. I didn't tell that in the first service. He had chevrons on, third class petty officer. You see, it seemed that Mr. Mazeroski's son was already in New York a few days earlier. He was in his uniform and he went to the Oneida Star and made contact with the editor. In his full uniform, with a cane, he had the editor help him up the steps. And so they wrote an article about him, the local paper. In fact, he was supposed to be 2nd Battalion, 3rd Regiment, Fleet Marine Force Pacific, 3rd Marine Logistics Group. That's how Marines do all of that. You know. And he had been stationed outside of Fallujah in Iraq. And at the end of the article, it asks for people to send cards to him. But you see, his high school principal was a retired Marine. And Marines can read your chest. They can read your chest. And he had his combat ribbons upside down. And so they did a little digging and got the Naval Investigative Service involved. Of course, they found out that he had not been in Iraq. He just barely made it out of boot camp, and he was being discharged for medical reasons. Can you imagine how his dad felt? In fact, it dishonors everyone who has ever worn the uniform of our country. What was he thinking? Matthew 26 at verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. In the original, in the Greek language, that word kiss means an affectionate kiss, not a brush of the lips. When he kissed him on the cheeks, he made sure that he knew he was kissed. It almost seems impossible to see this going on. But this is what I want you to get. Oh, Jesus is something else. He is. That's why I show up every week. It's because of Jesus. I'm glad Jesus is Jesus. Now, Jesus knew that Judas was a betrayer. This is what Jesus says to Judas. Giving him, I always thought that, you know, Jesus was giving him one more chance to repent. Amen. He calls him, in fact, there are probably, I tried to count them, there's about 11 other expressions of friend. You'll see them in the New Testament. But this is the only one Jesus uses friend in reference to Lazarus. He says, "Our friend Lazarus." But I don't know of any direct calling of an individual friend. This is the only one that I could find. Now, if you find another one, please let me know. I could not find another like this. Jesus calls Judas friend. What a God. And you know, Peter takes out his sword. You know, they try and get, Peter takes out his sword and cuts the ear off of the soldier. That's only listed in the book of Luke. And it just makes sense that Luke would record this because he's a doctor, that he would record the Peter cutting off the ear. Now, I can't explain this. Some of you who do a lot of reading, explain this to me. The Bible says he cut off the ear of the soldier as he was going to, you know, for Jesus. And it said Jesus touched the man and healed him. Didn't say he picked up the ear and put it back on there and healed him. It said it touched him and it healed him. Now, I don't know why Peter, they knew what was going on. I don't know why Peter didn't pick up his sword and cut off Judas's ear. Oh, I love it. Because that's what I would have done. When Jesus called Judas friend, he was giving him an opportunity to say, "You know something? I messed up, Jesus. I was getting ready to betray you. I'm sorry." He was giving him an opportunity to do that. He didn't take that opportunity. In fact, I think you know the end of the story. And then, I want you to see this. verse 56 of chapter 26. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Whenever you're reading Matthew, remember this particular quote. Matthew does this all the way through the scriptures in Matthew, that it might be fulfilled. He's writing to an audience. He wants you to know this is the one you've been waiting for. He does that all the time, so that's a very common. When you read Matthew, always underline that, keep that in mind, that it might be fulfilled. Then look what it says afterwards. Then a few of the disciples forsook him and fled. Oh, and that's what's scary. All of them forsook him and fled. And I want to close with this. Now, if you're asleep, you want to wake up for this one. This is relevant to us. Mark chapter 13 and verse 12. Mark chapter 13 and verse 12. This is a passage that's dealing with last day events, something that's coming, and it says this. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by a few people. All people, all for my name's sake. But he, oh hallelujah, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Oh, saints of God, do not let stuff, people, drive you from the church. Do not let them betray you and you lose your way. Stay to the end. You see, if you, after years and years and years and years and Sabbath after Sabbath coming, how is it possible after all of that that you'd let the devil trick you and betray you and say, I'm not coming back to God's church anymore? Don't fall for that. Stay to the very end. You know what was tragic about this whole situation? I didn't get to share this in the first service. My time ran out. I got time to tell you. Judas, who was so in love with money, traded in the most precious thing in all the universe for 30 pieces of silver. Can you believe that? Can you think of anything that's worth more than Jesus? He turned in the truly pearl of great price for 30 pieces of silver. Folks, don't do that. Don't make that mistake. It is what it is. Let's pray. Father, kind of sobering message, Lord, for all of us. But you bring it around when you call us friend. Well, that means there's another chance for us, another opportunity for us, and we are not going to squander it. Lord, we're not going to leave you. In fact, Lord, we're going to make a commitment right now, this very moment, to stick with you. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment on that very point. That right now, in the mind that you have right now, you're going to stick with God. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. With the mind that you have right now and with the Spirit of the Lord working, you are going to stick with God. If you believe that, if you accept that, would you stand with me? Lord, we thank you for your Spirit working today. We pray that we will always stick with you no matter what. That we will not, we betray one another. And we do, Lord, forgive us for that in many ways. But Lord, we don't ever want to be guilty of betraying you. So Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to humbly put ourselves in your hands. And in all of this, we'll be careful to praise your name forever. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just remain standing and we'll